Biden is nothing like that warmongering, orange-faced, womanizing creep Trump. I just can't take having a sexual abuser in the White House anymore.
Joe Biden is expected to respond this morning to an allegation of sexual assault.
She says in 1993, Mr. Vice President, that you pinned her against the wall and reached under her clothing and penetrated her with your fingers.
Fuck. Well, I'm sure Democrats are up in arms considering the last 3 years of Me Too and Believe Women and holding powerful men accountable, right?
I'd believe Joe Biden.
Oh my God.
This is like the Hillary emails.
You never really cared about women, did you? You're just gonna let Biden slide past sexual assault allegations because this time someone on your team did it. That's a disturbing level of hypocrisy, and it's gonna come back to bite you in the ass next time there's a Kavanaugh or a Trump. You don't have to do this. There's still time to pick someone else. No? Well, okay, back to defeating Trump. At least Joe Biden doesn't promote racism like Trump.
I spent last summer going through the black sections of my town holding rallies in parks, trying to get black men to understand it's not unmanly to wear a condom.
It doesn't matter whether or not they were deprived as a youth. We have predators on our streets.
That I voted for the 94 crime bill. You ashamed of that bill?
Not at all. Matter of fact, I drafted the bill, as you remember.
At least Biden isn't a warmonger?
As long as Saddam's at the helm, there is no reasonable prospect.
But the cost of not acting against Saddam, I think, would have been much greater.
I actually like Dick Cheney for real. I get on with him. I think he's a decent man.
Okay. But who wasn't for the Iraq War? But surely a Biden administration wouldn't be like Trump and letting a bunch of pro-Israel zealots dictate Middle East policy.
Were there not an Israel, the United States of America would have to invent an Israel to protect her interest.
Okay, but they're all war hawks, right? Who doesn't bend over backwards for Israel?
We are gonna have to treat the Palestinian people with respect and dignity.
I miss him. At least domestically, Biden will get us closer to universal health care, especially now with the pandemic.
Are you now reconsidering your position when it comes to single-payer health care?
Single-payer will not solve that at all.
I'll go for a bigger cut in Medicare.
Come on, dude. I'm trying to help you out here. You're making it really difficult. At least Biden is more eloquent and presidential than Trump.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by... You know the thing.
During World War... where Roosevelt came up with a thing was totally different than the World War II. He had the War Production Board. We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. Probably best I don't.
Is this a joke? Are they keeping him on life support and pumping him with drugs before he makes public appearances? Who are they trying to fool with this Weekend at Biden show? I guess Biden won't be trying to escalate tensions with China like Wuhan virus Trump.
President Trump and Joe Biden's campaigns, they're now accusing each other of being soft on China.
But Trump rolled over for the Chinese. He took their word for it.
Student debt? I'm scared to ask.
The younger generation now tells me how tough things are. Give me a break. No. I have no empathy.
This lesser evil crap sucks. American democracy means choosing between a shit bomb and an atomic bomb. At this point, Biden's managing to make Hillary look good. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. I'm gonna go jump off the roof now. You're on your own, Joe.
I'm a political scientist. This is why climate activists need to keep turning the heat up on Joe Biden, by Tea Riofrancos. Back in December, which feels like a century ago, the Sunrise Movement gave Joe Biden an F on their Green New Deal scorecard. They gave an A- to Bernie Sanders. The next month, after a six-week-long deliberative process, the group endorsed Sanders for president. But with Sanders dropping out this month and Biden now the presumptive Democratic nominee, the question arises as to how the group, and more importantly, the broader Green New Deal coalition, should treat Biden's campaign. In short, what should the climate justice movement do now? Lots of people have opinions. Last week, Vox's Matt Iglesias and David Roberts weighed in, suggesting that Sunrise tame its criticisms of the Biden campaign. These admonitions echo growing calls for party unity in the lead-up to what will likely be a tight general election against a justly loathed Republican incumbent. Unity advocates invoke memories of the 2016 primaries when Sanders supporters were blamed for Hillary Clinton's weak performance, despite substantial evidence that depressed turnout for an uninspiring candidate did more to doom her candidacy than Bernie or bust voters. Of course, it makes perfect sense for the Democratic establishment to want to corral the party's progressive wing, as well as social movements under the banner of an anti-Trump united front. Every faction in the party, including current leadership, desires control over what is ultimately a patchwork coalition of diverse constituencies. And dampening internal dissent is a key method for attaining that control. When party leadership calls for unity, what they are demanding is acquiescence. But is unity the best way for climate activists to achieve their goals? A closer look at the political context suggests that activists don't need unity, they need power. First and foremost, the climate movement needs power because it hasn't yet achieved its goals. Biden recently stated he would support a green, job-centric approach to economic recovery, but his climate plan remains woefully inadequate, proposing just $3 trillion in federal public investment. And from campaign fundraising to key advising and campaign co-chair positions, he has a worryingly cozy relationship with the fossil fuel industry. Second, the movement needs power because it can't rely on governing elites to address their concerns about rapidly cutting emissions at the start of this crucial climate decade. The Republican Party has attacked any green investments whatsoever as an elitist distraction from workers' immediate pain, even as they ensure that recovery dollars go to the wealthiest people and the largest corporations. Ever since their failed attempt to link airline bailout funds to emission reduction goals, Democratic leadership has failed to make climate-related demands in the unfolding battle over the shape of the federal stimulus. Third, the current moment offers a crucial window for movement influence. The Biden campaign is clearly concerned about persuading Bernie supporters, who skew younger, to vote for him. He has specifically flagged climate change as one of this constituency's top priorities and created a climate-themed working group in coordination with Sanders. This window for activists like the Sunrise Movement to get Biden to ramp up his climate ambitions, however, will only narrow as the general election approaches. When Biden pivots in earnest to facing off against Trump, he will be pulled to the center in the predictable attempt to woo swing voters instead of firing up the progressive base. And fourth, the unfolding battles over the federal stimulus, battles which would continue under a potential Biden administration, have become a key arena to push for the job-centric green economic recovery that young people favor. If Biden wins the White House, he'll have a hand in any further stimulus efforts. In other words, climate justice activists have the motive and the opportunity to put pressure on the Biden campaign now more than ever, and they have the means. Disruptive tactics that hold politicians accountable. In general, when groups with less institutional power want to make their voices heard, they must rely on the tactic of disruption, since they don't have access to the same levers as party elites. The young people who form the base of the Sunrise Movement are more likely to be Democrats, but they are also less likely to vote. It isn't that young people are apathetic, but a variety of factors that disproportionately keep them from the polls. This group holds little traditional power, with few elected representatives advocating for their interests. Yet at the same time, they have a generational interest in averting catastrophic climate change and assuring themselves a dignified economic future. If groups such as the Sunrise Movement want to influence politics, they have to think creatively about how they can exert leverage from a position of weakness and, whenever possible, replace incumbents with politicians more accountable to social movements. In keeping with their outsider position, the Sunrise Movement, as well as other youth-led movements such as Zero Hour and the Dream Defenders, use a wide range of tactics to empower their constituencies, from public rallies to social media campaigns, from phone banking members of Congress to internal political education and organizing trainings. But when their specific goal is to ensure that the politicians that often ignore them hear their message, they deploy more disruptive tactics, bird-dogging candidates at town halls, fundraisers, and other events, and disseminating the videos that can go viral and attract mainstream media attention, thus amplifying their effect and forcing politicians to respond. Sunrise has also brought critical attention to candidates' climate record with their deeply researched scorecard. Since their disruptive tactics have proven successful in the past, there is no reason they should change the playbook now. This is the time to influence Biden's transition team, a key pressure point for activists in terms of both its personnel and its policy goals. After Reuters revealed that Larry Summers, who has an atrocious record on climate, serves as an economic advisor, the Sunrise Movement and Justice Democrats immediately called for Summers to be removed from his position. Zooming out to the broader context provides additional reasons for the climate justice movement to stay laser-focused on pressuring the political system from the Biden campaign to Democrats in Congress. Recovery from the coronavirus pandemic will be a defining feature of politics in the coming months and even years. It has created a critical juncture where we can either implement policies that exacerbate the unequal, fossil-fueled, and economically precarious status quo, or lay the groundwork for a fairer and lower carbon economy for all. Activists should aim to both expand the bench of Green New Deal advocates at all levels of public office and be prepared to hold Democrats accountable as part of a dynamic, multifaceted political strategy. Specifically, in regards to Biden, they should demand that he cut all financial and advising relationships with the fossil fuel industry, increase his proposed public investment on climate by a factor of 10, center job creation for working class and racialized communities, and populate his transition team with policymakers committed to these goals. And there's reason to be cautiously hopeful about the impact of such a strategy. The fossil fuel sector is in freefall, with demand and prices plummeting. That means a key opponent to climate action is in a weaker position economically and politically. In addition, the public is deeply concerned about their economic security now and in the future, which would likely increase political support for job-centric public investment. And there are ideas lying around, such as the green stimulus approach that I and 10 other policy experts co-authored. In other words, the moment is ripe for a Green New Deal. It would behoove activists to keep the pressure on. Tea Riofrancos is an assistant professor of political science at Providence College and co-author of A Planet to Win, Why We Need a Green New Deal. She serves on the steering committee of DSA's Eco-Socialist Working Group. My first reaction to this article is that we need to put pressure on Biden to drop out because he's not going to do any of the things that Tea recommends. But I'm sharing this article with you because the idea of pressure is right on the money. We need everybody, but particularly youthful activists, to jump on this pressure bandwagon. No matter who's leading this charge, and even if we have no visible leaders, pressure is the way we're going to win this battle. The other key ingredient that is not mentioned in this article is the idea of a general strike, a series of crippling general strikes that will also apply pressure here. If our current leaders are failing us, because our current leaders are failing us, we need to figure out how to ramp up the pressure on them. We need a Green New Deal. We need monthly stimulus checks for workers until we get through this pandemic mess. We need single-payer Medicare for all. We need to end mass incarceration. And we need to end U.S. imperialism. We know what we need. We know what the demands are. Mostly, we need to figure out how to do what Tea is recommending here and keep the pressure on our leadership. Victor Tiffany is the OG of the Bernie or Bust movement and founder of Revolt Against Plutocracy. He tells Professor Riofrancos that she has a good take on the Bernie or Bust movement and then shares the Bernie or Bust organizer's point of view of Biden's climate approach. Given the support, legal bribery, he gets from the fossil fuel sector and choice of Larry Summers, it's clear that Joe will be Joe. No words, no promises, no policy platform planks. Not even a contract with voters will change that. They are all unenforceable. Liberals and the McResistance movement will go back to sleep, although Biden's not much better in many areas of concern, including climate collapse. Sunrise Movement was right, in my opinion. In order to provide party unity and continue using what or bust leverage remains, we have offered an electoral cessation of promised attacks on Biden from the left using our PAC, social media networks, and 53,000 mailing lists to support a Biden-Sanders ticket, but not a Biden-slash-fill-in-the-blank ticket. We do not believe the demented Biden will defeat Trump, but if he does, it will be by default after Trump's defeat in the war against the invisible enemy. That is to say, the coronavirus epidemic. We don't believe the establishment is willing to put Sanders in the line of succession, but we are reaching out to the selection committee members. There are revolutionaries who won't embrace that compromise. I won't embrace it. But we are convinced it's Biden's best shot at party unity. The best thing anyone who wants Trump defeated can do is to demand Biden's replacement. His dementia is a liability that the Democrats cannot risk losing behind. We think uniting behind Biden is insane, a repeat of 2016 with cognitive decline thrown in for good measure. The latter is an unnecessary and unforced error we understand is based on Biden's personal relationship with Obama and bankers. It's payback for Biden's 8 years of loyal support that keeps the blue team solidly neoliberal. Biden has no redeeming qualities, so we will most likely promote the candidacy of a third-party candidate. As you probably know, people informed by MSDNC haven't heard mention of Biden's cognitive decline since last year after the first debate. Andrea Mitchell was talking with Chris Matthews, and one of them noted that Biden had lost a step. This collusion of silence between that channel, CNN, and the DNC is going to get Trump reelected. Biden has lost a lot of steps, and the Trump campaign will make sure every voter knows about that, followed with a question: who should you trust with the nuclear briefcase? The answer should be the Democrat, but not in this case. Biden could still win, but Trump needs to continue getting crushed by the invisible enemy killing 2,000 Americans a day. In Revolt, Victor Tiffany, co-author, Bernie or Bust, Pioneers of Electoral Revolt. That's a good book, by the way. You should read it. What Victor says about Biden's relationship with Obama and the bankers is true, but even Obama didn't want Biden. The only reason we have Biden is because he's the only one who stuck when they threw all the spaghetti against the wall. He was the only one who had any chance of defeating Bernie Sanders. It's frustrating because there's no way in hell they're going to replace Biden with anybody like Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders is an existential threat. Nina Turner probably also would be an existential threat to the banker's way of life. Nobody in this movement wants Donald Trump to be president, but that's the only thing we can do at this point is guarantee you'll get Donald Trump as president. I've alluded to this before, but we need to say it out loud. The only way we're going to replace Obama world, the Clinton machine, the CIA, and the deep state is massive, crippling labor strikes and a plethora of demonstrations. It's going to take a true revolution to get us out of the mess we're in.